2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin together in verse 14. We'll read responsively, all together out loud on the even verses. I'll read the odd verses by myself, because I'm the only odd person in here, and so that makes me qualified to read those. But we'll begin together in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we continue to look, and really I think you've figured out what I'm doing here, we are looking at every single word of this command in its entirety. So if you want to title today's message something, you can just title it Thyself. All right? Last week we talked about the word show and how important that word was. We've talked about the word study here in chapter 2 in verse 15. And we even kind of, if you will, indicated that it's an imperative sentence, that there's an understood subject, and that understood subject is the word you. And by the way, that also goes with the word thyself. All right. This is a singular call. It is for the individual Christian to study to show thyself. And you understand it's not thyself, right? It's not, he's not saying y'all, you know, we could translate it into Southern speak, right? Y'all study now, okay, here, all right? That, we could have translated it that way, right? And y'all get that way. You would know what that meant, right? Absolutely. No, but it gives a very individual nature to this idea that, Christian, you're responsible. And listen, folks, let me tell you something. I'm a pastor. I'm responsible to preach and teach the Word of God. And the Bible even says that I must give account of you to God. That's a big responsibility. Okay? But here's the thing that's even more important. Is not only am I going to give an account, if you will, but you're going to give an account of yourself to God. You understand that God says we are accountable. How many of you have heard the statement from the scriptures, to whom much is given, much is? Hello? By the way, if you're born again today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I just tell you already, you've been given more than most. Yeah, just having salvation in Christ is enough to be an indebted servant forever to Jesus Christ. Can I make that statement carefully? It's the truth. Just, you say, God hasn't given me anything but salvation. You're already richer than anybody else. That's enough. And it's enough to be accountable. It's enough to say, look, and you've heard me say before many times,
that life begins at salvation. It's the beginning of life that, as we know it, because until then, we are dead already in our trespasses and sins. So now with this new life, as it says in Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. So we have a new life in Christ to live. It has a purpose. It's God's purpose, not our purpose. And we're accountable to God for it. You say, well, I didn't know that when I signed up. Well, that's okay. Because it's not grievous. It's very joyful and exciting and full of abundance and favor and blessings. Even the troubles are great. You know what James says? Count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations. So yeah, trouble, woo! Okay, here we go, trouble time. Now, again, I speak facetiously, but you understand that's okay because we have Jesus. And He's sufficient. And His grace is sufficient. But I want you to understand that we have an individual responsibility. We are accountable to God. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we have our Lord's Supper at our church, we hold the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday evening of a month. The Bible says, as oft as ye do it, right? Do it in remembrance of me. So you understand that there's no set time. Could we have it every Sunday? Yeah, we could. That'd be okay. Is that necessary? I don't know. I think it's up to each local church what they want to do with that. But we decided to have ours, and we always read this passage of Scripture here. But I want you to see the individuality of what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church. Look what he says. Look at verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. There's that manifestation, right? That outward display that a Christian is supposed to have. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man. Okay? Is that singular or plural? Singular. So it's talking about an individual. He says, hey, individual Christian, individual Corinthian of the Corinthian body of Christ, individual Christian, examine himself. So when we have the Lord's Supper, the pastor's going to come down here and he's going to get his pen out and a piece of paper and say, okay, John, let me make sure you're up to date on all your sins. What were the last 5 sins you committed? You know? All right, Aiden, the last 25 sins you've committed. Okay. And I go down the list and I'm gonna make sure I examine every Christian before they take the Lord's Supper. Is that my job? No. Let a man examine what? Oh. So that means John's accountable to God, and Aiden's accountable to God, and Noah's accountable to God, and Caleb's accountable to God, and Mindy's accountable to God. You know. We're all accountable to God. So when Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, look, Timothy, you're my son in the faith. You're a pastor. You're a preacher boy of mine. He says, Timothy, you need to study and you need to show yourself approved unto God. You need to display this in your individual life. Christian, you and I have an individual responsibility and an accountability to God, our God, and to Jesus, our Savior. It's personal. And this thing of studying the Scriptures, hey, listen, a pastor is supposed to study the Word of God. I am full on that. I am 100% in agreement with that. That's what the Scriptures say. Yes, that's true. But so are you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, even if you're not pastors. Because a finger needs to know how it's supposed to function in the body of Christ. A nose needs to know how it's supposed to function in the body of Christ. The eyes need to know how to function as the body of Christ. The ears need to know how to function as part of the body of Christ. And guess what? My ears are accountable to me. My eyes are accountable to me. My fingers are accountable to me. My nose is accountable to me. I did that on purpose. Okay? They're all accountable to me. And if my foot doesn't work, then I'm going to get my foot going, right? I'm going to take it to the doctor and get my foot fixed. If my foot's not working, I'm not going to go to the doctor and say, hey, can you fix my hand? Now, how silly would that be, right? Or you're coughing, right? You got a cold and you say, hey, can you do something about the hairs that are missing on the top of my head? No, you go address the thing that's causing the problem. Because it's an individual part of the body that's not functioning properly. So we're accountable to God for ourselves. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been talking about this passage of Scripture on Sunday nights. As we've been studying what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, a member of the local church. Every member is so very valuable and important to God. And let me just say something. We need you. And we need you to be let me use the word properly. Learned. We need you to be studied up. We need you to be informed and fit for the master's use. All Christians, even the fingers and the toes and the red blood cells and the hairs in the nose, in the ears, on the head, wherever they may be. I'm finding out I have more ears or hairs coming out of my ears. I figured out where my head hair went. It went to my ears. Okay? I think that's a natural process. But anyways, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says this in verse 15. But if I tarry long, and I know he's talking to a preacher boy. I know he's talking to Timothy. But let me tell you something. The Bible has one interpretation. We understand that, right? It's of no private interpretation. But the Bible has life application after application after application after application. So yes, it's written to Timothy, but it applies to you and it applies to me. He says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. He says, Timothy, you should behave in the house of God. And guess what? The deacons should behave in the house of God. Right? Preachers should preach. Deacons should deek. That's what they should do. That's what they're supposed to do. And Christians should live like Christ. They were called Christians first at Antioch because they were little Christs. They looked like Jesus. They talked like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. They did the things that Jesus did. They were little Jesuses. And that's what you and I need to be, because we're accountable to God for ourselves. He said, he links the idea of this, which by the way, is godliness. To be like God. To be like Christ. Christ-likeness. And that's what we're supposed to do. It's a controversy. It's a mystery. And by the way, how can sinful, corrupt, cursed human flesh be like Christ? It can't. That's why we got to kill it off. Mortify the deeds of your body, and ye shall live. Crucified with Christ, right? Said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what Paul said. You understand that that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. And we're supposed to do it ourselves. In the dictionary, Webster defines thyself as thou shalt and no other. He says you. You're supposed to do it. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I love that little hymn. It comes from it's attributed to a prince in India, right? You know what I'm talking about? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Who is accountable? The prince is. What if nobody follows him? still going to follow Jesus? What if everybody mocks him? What if everybody's against him? Still going to do it. Why? No turning back. Folks, we are bought with a price. We are not our own. We are the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We are accountable to God for our own life. And I'm not accountable for anybody else's. You're not accountable for anybody else's. You're accountable for yours. This is what Paul is expressing to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you've got to study. And in studying and doing what you're supposed to do, hopefully others will see and follow your lead. But if they don't, you still have obeyed. You're still accountable, and if you will, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know how much I can do that. Because when I actually developed this particular message months ago. Because, you know, one message turns into 17. That's what happens for me when I read a passage of Scripture. Oh, this is... And I'm not just one of those guys that takes a message and turns it into a three-part series. No, it becomes like a whatever you call that, a multi-volumed novel, okay? It becomes 17 or 18 messages, you know. But no, study to show thyself. Guess what the next word is, everybody? Hello. You know what? I really don't care about your approval. And I mean that in the kindest, nicest way I can. Because you know whose approval is more important to me? Because that's who I'm accountable to. I'm accountable to God. And you're accountable to God. And we should care about that individual relationship. I am accountable to God. And I need to know how I should behave myself in the house of God. Because it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And it's attached to godliness. And godliness is a great mystery. Because I can't do it unless I'm in the Spirit. Unless I'm in Him. I've got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and I've got to be following the Spirit of God. Paul says that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Whoa, what a life to live. The life of a godly Christian. It's a great mystery. In Proverbs chapter 9, Solomon says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Oh, listen, folks, if we would grab hold of the wisdom of God, guess what we can achieve? We can be wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser. Solomon says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. We already talked about Luke 2:52. What did Jesus do? He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What an example to follow. And guess who gets to follow that example? Me, the individual, thyself. And guess what you get to do? The same. Because you're accountable to God. You're accountable to God as an individual. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, that's wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise. Listen to this. Listen to what Solomon says. Thou shalt, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. How many, you have that memorized, don't you? Or you just knew it was coming. Thyself. And then he says this, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Alone. Thyself. Psalm 37, David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't look at everybody else. Look here. What does James say? We're beholding as a natural in the glass, right? We forget what manner of man we were. Folks, listen, we've got to look in the mirror. Stop looking around. Oh, I'm better than brother so-and-so. Oh, I'm way better than sister so-and-so. No. There's no compare. Because to compare ourselves among ourselves is what? Yeah, it's foolish. What are we supposed to do? Be wise. And be wiser. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of God is understanding. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. And if you be wise, you'll be wise for yourself. And if you scorn, you'll bear it alone. Folks, listen to me. This little word, thyself, Paul did not have to put it here. He didn't have to. He could have made it to the whole group of people. He could have made it to nobody. He could have just said, hey, you need to study to be approved unto God. He could have just said that, right? Study to be approved unto God. No, but he said it on purpose. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I told you this before, and I mean it. This is a limited resource. You understand how limited this resource is. Okay, let me get to the part that's the scriptures here. The rest of it's study tools. Okay, so this right here, in the book world, in the historical realm of written items, this is a small excerpt of history. Do you understand that? It's limited. You say, Pastor, but it's 66 books of the Bible, and in a reasonable amount of time, I can read my Bible through in a year or maybe twice in a year. That's a lot of reading. Okay, but please understand, in the scope of human history, this is a very small sample size. So every word that God decided to include in His Word is very, very important. Every a, an, and the, every little word like show or all or whatever, how about thyself? God put it there on purpose for you. So it's not really that hard to compose an entire sermon based on one little word. Study to show thyself. So as we get introspective today, as we examine ourselves, as we look in the mirror, we need to see what we are to God Almighty. Because that's what matters. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You should be close by there. I guess in my Bible, it's two pages flipped over. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 1. Timothy says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So what are we supposed to do? Choose God over man. And who's supposed to do it? The individual. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You understand that godliness is an individual thing. I am supposed to be godly. You say, yes, Pastor, you're the pastor. You're the face of the franchise, right? You're supposed to be godly, Pastor. But I can be godly at church and live however I want at home. You know, I think sometimes, now you know this not to be true of me, but I think sometimes the people think that, you know, I go home and I wear a suit. And when I get ready for bed, I put a different suit on. And I sleep in a suit, and then I wake up in the morning and I get another suit out and wear that suit. Right? And I have my you know, grocery store shopping suit, and I have my, you know, car washing suit, and I have, well, that's just, the pastor's always in a suit. You know, when I was a Christian school principal, I remember the first time I used to have Saturdays off, being Christian school principal. All the rest of the staff had Mondays off, so that's the way it was. So, but one time, early on in the ministry, you know, the kids got used to me being in a suit every day. They just saw me in a suit every day, and that's just, you know, and including Sundays, because I didn't come up to the church on Saturdays. And so one time, a pastor asked me to do something, so I ran up to the church to do something for him, you know, in a menial, like, working task, you know, not ministry, serving, soul winning, or anything like that. But I came up there, and I was in jeans and a t-shirt, and some of my school kids were like, "Brother Combs, you own other clothes than a suit?" You know, they couldn't believe it. okay, now, I don't want to take it that far to think, but shouldn't we be a Christian everywhere we go? By the way, am I accountable to God here in this place? Yes. But am I accountable to God in my car? Am I accountable to God in my home? Am I accountable to God at the store? Where am I accountable to God, and where am I not accountable to God? How about everywhere? Because it's godliness. And we're supposed to ourselves be godly. Did you notice what he said here? He said, look, he said, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. The individual is supposed to exercise their godliness. They're supposed to grow in their godliness. Listen, if you're still a baby Christian and you've been a Christian for 20 years, shame on you for not growing. You should be way more godly than you were when you were first saved, everybody. That's just natural. I've used this illustration before. Let's see, she's in children's church, okay? All right? I'll have to use another one. Oh, she's back. Well, there she is. Oh, you're hiding from me. Okay? My... If you will, as far as my children go, and all the rest of the children are going to hate this, but my true love of my children, my firstborn, okay, the perfect child, all right, Anna, all right, and she knows the definition of the Bible, the Bible phrase that a brother is born for adversity. He's sitting right back there, okay. So this is perfect child, and that's adversity, okay. So. Yeah, he just throws his hands up like, what am I going to say? It's Bible, son. You can't refute it. Okay. Now, if I were to have she already has a complex of her own. She knows she's short. All right. She's 5'4¼". All right. Are you up to 3/8 now? Just a quarter still. Okay. She's hoping and praying for that eighth of an inch. If I were to bring her up here and I were to hold her in my arms like a newborn baby, right, and rock her, and everybody, I'd like you to meet my 20-year-old daughter, Anna. All right? Now, if she were the size of a baby, you know, 21 inches long, or actually when she was born, she was 6 pounds, 15 ounces, and 19 inches long. So if I were to be holding her up here and I'd say, this little baby is 20 years old, you all would be like, oh. And you wouldn't mean it mean, you wouldn't be mean, you wouldn't be rude, but wouldn't you wonder what's wrong with her? Right? What disease does she have? What syndrome is this? Right? You understand? And you wouldn't be doing it maliciously or viciously or anything like that. You would really just want to know. This little thing is 20 years old. What is it? And folks, there are Christians that are 20 years old in the Lord and they're still sucking on milk. They haven't graduated to the meat. They haven't grown in their faith. They're still a baby Christian, doubting this and doubting that and not going anywhere in their Christian life. Can I borrow another phrase from another verse? Brethren, these things ought not so to be. And it's not how it's supposed to be for the Christian. And so we're individually accountable. And listen, I was saved in the summer of 1985. I should act like it. I should be studied in the faith. I should know the holiness of godliness that the Bible speaks of. I should know the things of the Scriptures. I should have way more Bible verses memorized and hidden in my heart than I do. I should know way more about the Scriptures than I do. But I should at least show some signs of growth and change, because I'm accountable to God. And I can't say this enough. One of my mentors in the faith, Dr. Bob Smith, always said, your best is good enough for God no matter how poor it is, but less than your best is never good enough for God no matter how good it is. And we just sit back and we just say, yep, I'm doing good. I'm better than so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm all right. But I'm not accountable to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm accountable to God. Myself. Not you. Me. And in this thing of study, yes, the pastor's supposed to study. But the deacons are supposed to study. And the Sunday school teachers are supposed to study. And the bus workers are supposed to study. And the nurse workers are supposed to study. And the ushers are supposed to study. And the choir members are supposed to study. And the regular church members are supposed to study. We're all supposed to study. On our own. To show ourselves approved unto God. Now, not only did Webster describe this word as thou shalt and no other, but it was written and given as the word thyself to give emphasis and distinction. So Paul said, not only is this something that you're supposed to do, but it's something you're supposed to do. You see that? Emphasis. Timothy, you study thyself. You see, distinction, emphasis. Why? Because God forgot that he just wrote it imperatively, right? Why do we need a thyself? For emphasis. Why does God repeat things in the Scriptures? Because he forgot he wrote them before. No. For emphasis. God wants to emphasize that we are accountable to him to display, to manifest the knowledge of God. We are supposed to study. In Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience. By the way, that's all a display. That's all a manifestation of what they are on the inside. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You notice he mixes the group with the individual. So we've got to be a pattern of good works ourselves. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Having no evil thing to say of you. He said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. By the way, this is all godliness. And the individual is supposed to be godly. Listen to what he says. He says, teaching us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should, folks. You know what the Bible says in go over there to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sure you have this memorized. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace are ye saved through... Yeah, and what? Yeah, it is the gift of God. What? Not of works, lest any man should. Why? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, we should be godly. We should be producing good works. We should study to show ourselves approved unto God. It's an individual responsibility. Paul says in Galatians to the church, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We were talked about in Corinthians that a man should examine himself. Remember some examples in scriptures. David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged his son, Solomon, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Solomon wrote the entire book of Proverbs, basically, for his son, Rehoboam. For the most part, Solomon excelled until his heart was drawn away by all his wives. Rehoboam didn't even start out good. His first major decision, he went a different direction. Daniel set his face as a flint. That first test of not eating the king's meat, right? Successful. So, well, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What about them? I think Daniel still would have done it even if they wouldn't have come along. And by the way, they did well too. But then in the face of the lion's den, right? In the face of other things. How about this time when he's praying and asking for God to do something, the angel comes to him and he says, "Listen, he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Boy, that's pretty individual. It wasn't just, you know, this foursome, the four musketeers, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they banded together and nothing could stop them. No, it was an individual thing. And maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were around to help Daniel out and support him in his time of need and his time of difficulty. But this man had his own personal integrity. And the angel said, "You did this, Daniel, and you did this, and that's why I'm here, because of you." What is God doing in your local church because of you, Christian? What is God doing in your family because of you, mom, or because of you, dad, or because of you, kid? What is God doing in your community, Christian, because of you? What will God do in Norway because of y'all? You know, we ask these missionaries, God asks them to go across the world, and sometimes they don't have any association with anybody. They're carving something out of nothing. It's an individual responsibility that we have before God. Will an angel come to you because of your heart set to understand God? That you've chastened yourself before God, that your words were heard by God, and this angel and this answer from God has come because of your words. Because you've studied and you're approved unto God. One last passage, you understand, Josiah became king of Judah pretty early, as an 8-year-old. You understand that that's a pretty big thing. That's pretty hefty responsibility. But you know what he did? He set his heart on God. And guess what? They found the book of God, and they brought it to the king, and the king rent his clothes and worshiped God and set himself before God. And an answer came and said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. It's pretty amazing. Study to show thyself approved unto God.